Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Wednesday, the 17th of April, and as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. And of course, if you're listening to this free podcast, we'd love to have you on board as part of the Marcus Today community. You can sign up at marcustoday.com.au for a free trial of our wonderful newsletter. Plenty of money-making ideas, macro strategy, small-cap strategy, model portfolios, ETF portfolios, education as well, a massive part of our offering. So if you're new to the market and you're just starting to get interested, we have a huge amount of educational material which will put you on a firmer footing in your investment journey. Now, let's get on to, of course, the scores on the doors as always at this time of day. And despite the fact that we had such a horrible day yesterday, 140 points down on the ASX, 1.8% down, we still got the SPY futures down 23 points or 0.3%. Now, the Dow closed up 64 points or 0.17%, 37,799. It had a high of 257 up and a low of minus 21. We had the NASDAQ down 0.12%, 20 points, 15,865. And the S&P 500, I guess in the middle for diddle to some extent, down 0.2%, in fact worse than both of those, down 10 points, 5,051. The Russell 2000 down 8 points or 0.4% to 1967. The VIX Volatility Index easing back with a little bit of positivity in the air, down 4.3%, back down to 1840, as I say, the SPY futures down 23 points. European markets got walloped. The Stock 600 was down 1.5, FTSE down 1.8, Germany down 1.4, etc., etc. And there was reasons for this, of course, apart from the angst and the increasing tensions in the Middle East. It looks like the Israeli war cabinet has delayed meeting for a day, so maybe that's eased tensions back a little bit. They are considering their options to some extent. But we did get Jerome Powell last night out and about. Now, the problem that Jerome Powell has, and this is something I was talking about just a minute ago on AusBiz, is that he has nailed his colours to the mast in terms of data dependency and has said all along that the Fed is data dependent, which is all well and good for the people calling for rate cuts when the data is heading that way. However, when the data is showing the US economy is chugging along at a pretty good pace, unemployment pretty good, we got retail sales pretty good, etc., etc., that data and inflation picking up, that data is not going to allow Powell to cut rates anytime soon. So this is something that he said last night. The US economy, while otherwise strong, has not seen inflation come back to the central bank's goal, pointing to the further unlikelihood that interest rate cuts are in the offing anytime soon. This was speaking at a policy forum. So Jerome Powell used his outside voice instead of his inside voice and really enunciating what we had all been thinking, I guess. Bond yields as a result pushed up. The 10-year yield 4.67, up 6 basis points. The US 2-year up 6 basis points, 4.985. It did briefly touch 5% before coming off. And the US dollar strengthening again. The Aussie dollar back down to 64 cents. The US dollar index up 0.14%. So not massive on the US dollar index, but certainly for the Aussie dollar under some pressure there. Bitcoin 63,718 there. But certainly last night we did see the big market moving thing, of course, was Jerome Powell and the news there. The Dow was positive, which is about the best you could say, and that did snap a six-day losing streak there. But that was buoyed by United Health, which rallied 5%, better than expected revenue numbers. Johnson & Johnson in the Dow as well fell 2%, mixed results. Morgan Stanley was up 2.5%. They beat analyst forecasts. But Bank of America was down 3.5% after they announced their profit and revenue fell. So still pretty early days in the US reporting season, but a little bit of a mixed picture emerging. As far as the stocks go in the US, we had Nvidia up 1.6%, AMD up 2%, Netflix up 1.7%, Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, down 0.1%, Tesla down 2.7%. Results due Wednesday in the US. That's going to be an interesting one. Alphabetti Spaghetti down 0.2%. Amazonians down 0.2% as well. We have Microsoft up 0.2%. Apple still under pressure. An Apple a day not really working for them. Down 1.9%. Looking at the banks, as I said, there was a mixed report card from US banks. Morgan Stanley doing well, up 2.5%. But Bank of America down 3.5%. Wells Fargo down 1%. Goldman's down 1%. And we did see CBA overseas following our lead here, down 2%. In Europe, we saw banks under pressure as well. Barclays down 2.6%. HSBC down nearly 3%. UBS, used to be smart, down 2.7% as well. All right, turning our attention to commodities. And of course, with a stronger US dollar, it is usual for commodity prices to come off, and off they did. We have seen Brent crude down 28 cents, 0.3%. WTI pretty much unchanged, 6 cents down. Gold, another record high, 2382.8 we have, but I have seen it higher. 20 record highs in the last year for the gold price. Does seem very old school, but gold and the US dollar seem to be the havens at the moment for investors. Platinum down 1.5%. Silver are down 2.7%. On the LME, well, all that talk about Russian supply from the new metal being banned for what is now being christened the Moscow Metal Exchange, because they have such a dominance there. Copper down 1.7%, nickel down 2.8%, aluminium down 0.4%, still pretty high levels there. Zinc down 0.9%, lead down 1.7%, tin down 1.4%. Iron ore also slipped back in Asian trade, although we did have Dalian iron ore futures up a little bit. Lithium lower, about 3% lower last night. So we did see some reactions to that. And the lithium stocks, BHP, down 3.6% in ADR terms. Luckily, there all the copper gurus are meeting in Santiago and Chile at the moment. They'll give them something to talk about. Rio down 1.6%. Glencore down 3.1%. Freeport down 1.2%. Vale down 0.9%. In the lithium space, Arcadium are down 5.5%. We had Barrick in the gold area down 5%. You wouldn't believe that gold's at a record high, would you? Albemarle down 5.3%. SQM 3%. Sigma down 2.1%. And US and European oil and gas stocks just a little bit easier there. All right, turning to events in our local market, we've got Rio iron ore production out this morning. The miner produced 77.9 million tonnes in the first quarter, 2% lower than 2023. The slip was attributed to planned ore depletion, and shipments were 78 million tonnes, 5% lower than the first quarter of 2023. Bank of Queensland dropped earnings this morning. Both cases, earnings dropped and the numbers dropped. Cash earnings at Regional Bank of Queensland fallen by a third to $172 million in the 6 months to February. The big fall was due to competition for lending, higher funding costs, inflation, investment risk, compliance, technology. That certainly sees that troubles come in battalions. Speculation mounting about the future of regional banks. It certainly does seem as if the big four are squeezing the little ones. Net interest margin fell 24 basis points in the half to 1.55%. Also cut its interim dividend to just 17 cents from 20 cents last financial year. So that is no good for the Bank of Queensland by any stretch of the imagination. Other interesting news out this morning is Gina Rinehart has upped her stake in the rare earth space. She has bought a $49 million stake in Lynas Rare Earths, bringing her stake to 5.8%. She also has a stake in MP Materials, around 5.2%, which she revealed earlier. MP Materials, or MP Markets, is an American rare earths company. It came out of Molycorp, and it was revealed that Lynas and MP Materials had held discussions earlier this month. So interesting there. Lynas, of course, has been on a little bit of a tear higher. Also in some economic news out this morning, we've got New Zealand CPI growth slows to 4%. It dropped down from 4.7% in the previous quarter. Plenty of action in resource stocks as well this morning, given it is quarterly time. Evolution Mining, they've been drilling some holes at Ernest Henry and Mungari, returned significant assay results in close proximity to infrastructure. They've also reported their Q3 gold production, 185.3 thousand ounces versus 184.8 thousand ounces, maintains group FY24 guidance. Deep Yellow out this morning with their cash and cash equivalents, $155 million. And we have some news out from Pantoro, production of 100,000 ounces per annum run rate for the remainder of FY24-25. Not much in the way of guidance upgrades for some of these gold miners. It shows that it's hard just to turn the spigot and get gold production higher. To take advantage of these higher gold prices, of course, you could always just hedge in the market. We also have today Clearview has issued a trading update and an investor presentation on track to achieve FY26 goals. The outlook for NPAT is targeted to continue to grow at double digits off the FY24 base, a target of 12 to 14% target market share there. Universal Holdings, looks like their CFO Renee Jones to leave the group following the release of the FY, the full year results. Judo Capital out this morning as well, with some numbers as well as those Bank of Queensland numbers. On the Bank of Queensland, that certainly doesn't look particularly flash. West African Resources are reporting drilling results from M1 South at Sanbrado, including 24 metres at 55.79 grams a tonne of gold. Well, that looks pretty impressive. And Lotus Resources has completed the initial technical assessment of the Lefacane project, preliminary work plan for Q2 to lead to an updated mineral resource. Linus out this morning with, we got a bit of a preview of their Q3 production, which is out in the next few days. And also we have a preview of Pilbara Minerals Q3 production there. So that'll be interesting to see them. Spodumene production, there's 175.4 thousand dry metric tons. Spodumene shipments, 172.9. Realized price is probably the most important thing, $842.4 a dry metric ton. So we'll be looking out for those. And in other news today, some of the broking news out this morning. ProMedicus has been initiated buy at Goldman Sachs. $134 is the target price there. Of course, we've got Woolies set to acquire part of the pet stock business, Petto. The deal in tens of millions is believed to be near for certain assets after Woolies was forced to divest some of those assets as part of the ACCC concerns. Of course, Woolies. Once again, Brad Banducci seems to have had the wrong media advisor as he fronted the Senate hearing yesterday. Select Harvest downgraded to hold from buy at Bell Potter. Target remains $4.70. Cooper Energy has been downgraded to hold from buy at Bell Potter. Target increase there, though, to 21 cents from 18 cents. And we have also had as well today in terms of broker moves, just trying to see if there's any more. Doesn't seem to be too many more. So that's about it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day as always. We'll be back again this afternoon with the end of day report. In the meantime, may the trading gods be with you. And if you are listening to this on a free podcast, as I say, markets today.com.au. Love to have you as part of the community. It's a fantastic newsletter.